Beginning Parsha Shmos gives us an opportunity for the Ramban to remind us that we're actually beginning Parsha Shmos and we're beginning Sefer Shmos. And Sefer Shmos is a unit to be understood. And, as we've seen in the past, that's the focus, that's the objective of the Ramban's Hakdamos for the Sfarim, is to zoom out. What's the picture from 30,000 feet up? What's the Sefer as a whole about? And why on earth am I describing it as a divine coastline? Let's take a look. Ramban Hakdama to Sefer Ve'ela Shemos. Hishlim HaKasu Sefer Bereishis. The Chumash just completed Sefer Bereishis, which is Sefer Yetzirah. In a word, Bereishis is Genesis. Bereishis is the Sefer about creations. How so? Number one, Chidush HaOlam, the Yetziras Kol Notzer, the beginning of the universe, and the creation of all of the contents of the universe. As well as, so that covers the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Uven Mikrei HaAvos Kulam, Shehem Ke'inyin Yetzira Lazara. And then the stories of the Avos, the narratives from Avram and on, are a sort of creation of Jewish history. Veshakol mikrehem tzirei devarim lirmoz, ba'odiyah kol ha'asid la'bolahem. Because all the episodes in the lives of the Avos, specifically the episodes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to include in Chumash, are not only episodes that happened historically to and with the Avos, but are also those episodes which lay out what is going to happen in the large to Klal Yisrael in the future. As we see the Ramban in Sefer Bereishis say again and again, so most recently just last week, Ma'asav v'sim l'banim. So now he sort of zoomed out even more. Ma'asav v'sim l'banim explains also not only how to an additional lens with which to look at Parshas Lech Lecha to Vayechi, but also gives you a sense of how, why Parshios Lech Lecha through Vayechi are in the same Sefer as Bereishis and Noach. Because it's all creating universe, creating humanity, creating civilization, creating the Jewish people, and creating Jewish history. Sefer HaYetzirah. Rabban says, taking a moment to appreciate what we just learned over the last 3 months, Sefer HaYetzirah. And now, Acharei Shehishlim HaYetzirah, now that that's completed, we move on to the next phase. Hischil Sefer Acher. Another Sefer. Be'inyin HaMaaseh HaBo Min HaRavazim HaHein. Now we're going to begin to look at the actions, the episodes, the narrative that is generated by those Ramazim. That's where obviously we're headed next. Now that the Masa office is complete, now we're going to begin to look at the Siman Avon, the Masa Avon. So, then he said, that's true, Shemos and beyond. Nisyachet Sefer Ve'el Shemos in particular, is specifically focused on Be'in Nagalos HaRishon, the first Galos, Anigzar Beferush, which is explicitly described and decreed in Gracious. In other words, what does it mean by explicitly? As opposed to the oligalios, which are implied, which are marumas through the symbolism of Masav Simulvanin, as we saw last week, Begin Parashat Vayechi, we saw the Rabbi says, the Redes Yaakov and Mitzrayim is a remez to Galus Adam. Okay, but that's not Beferish and Pesukim. The only one that's Beferish and Pesukim is Galus Mitzrayim, and that's Brisman Absar. That's what we're going to see in Shemos, the first Galus and Geula Mimenu. This is Sefer HaGalus VaHaGeula. Now, the Ramban is bothered by two questions, which in this Hakdama he handles even more subtly than he usually does. And this is Sefer HaGalus VaHaGeula. So there are two big questions that you think about when you zoom out and look at all of Sefer Shemos as a whole. Just look at the bookends of Sefer Shemos. There are two problems. One problem is, which which he's about to meramez, so he's about to answer without asking. The most obvious problem when you start Sefer Shmos is Rimavra Sedra is repetitious. We had an almost identical, almost verbatim identical pasuk in the middle of Vayigash. Ve'el Shmos, B'nei Yisrael. We heard about the sons of Yaakov who came down with Yaakov and the grandchildren came down to the tribe. Almost the opening phrase is almost identical up here in the middle of Vayigash, which makes you think not only is the language repeated, but the content is being repeated. And historically, we're going out of order. Right? We just left off the end of Vayechi, the last incident. Yosef dies at the ripe old age of 110. When did Yaakov and the rest of the family come down to Mitzrayim? Yosef is not yet 40. So this is 70 years later. And now, the Chumash just jumps backwards over 70 years. We left off Ayati with the death of Yosef, and now the Chumash backs up again. The Eilish was B'nai Yisrael. Why? You have to hear again about the 12 Shvatim coming down. So the content we've heard already, highlighted by the fact that the language we've heard already, and historically we're zigzagging. We're leaping back, and it's not even clear what's being added. Because the psukim begin with, you read up the B'nai Yisrael and Tzrayim. In Vayigash, we got the fullest of the Shiva and Nefesh. Here we have a remnant to that. We hear the names of the Shvatim and the number. 70, you don't hear all of the grandchildren. And then we jump into what happened after the death of Yosef. The beginning of the subjugation of Klal Yisrael. So what this sort of like opening paragraph of Sefer Shmos is really, seems entirely superfluous. What are they doing there? So we sort of take it for granted, because we've seen Sefer Shmos before. We stop to think about it. And also, we take it for granted, number one, because we've seen Sefer Shmos before. So we're sort of used to seeing this. And number two, because more of us have seen the beginning of Shemos in the middle of Vayigash. Let's call a spade a spade. You have to actually listen to the lane of Vayigash in the Mavra Sedra to notice what's going on in the middle of Vayigash. Everyone's heard Shemos before. The beginning of Shemos, the opening of Sukkim, you hear a lane several times a week. But Lamasa, seemingly superfluous content, repeated language, historic, zigzagging, what's going on? Problem number one. Says Rabban, I just gave you the key, the tool, for answering that question. V'lachein chazar v'hischil v'shmos yordei Mitzrayim v'spara. And that's why the Torah went back to begin with going backwards, chazar, going backwards to repeat, to reiterate the names of those who go down to Mitzrayim and their number. Again, the Mesek Lashono is indicating it's a partial list. He gives a list of the sons and then the number to cover the grandchildren. It's already been written. If you don't remember where Shabbat tells you, put the number 5. Look earlier in Paragman Bach with Gracious. It's all there, in even greater detail. Why? Because once again, the Ramban is not asking us the Torah, but essentially, this could have been a problem. Here's how we make sense of it. Ba'amur, ki yirida sam sham, hu reishis hagamos. It's because that we begin Shemos by briefly referencing a point that appeared back in Vayigash. Briefly, we don't go through as much detail, because that's when the Gaulus began. So Shemos, because Shemos is the safer Gaulus da Geula, it needs to begin at the beginning of the Gaulus. So the Yerida of Yaakov to Mitzrayim appeared in Bereishis from a Bereishis perspective, from a Vayechi perspective, from a Maisa of a similar Banim perspective, and from a point of view of completing the story of Yaakov. appears here in, without a lot of detail, because that's where the Galus begins. So Shmos is going to tell us the story of Galus and Geula, so we need to see the Galus from the beginning all the way through to Geula. That's it. You don't have all the detail. Torah doesn't need to repeat all the detail. So it gives you sort of a bare bones reference back to that point. So we're sketching out from the beginning of Galus. Now, a question.
The Lord.
That's what you assume. The way you say, when you say, that's a good question. Right? Does it go back to Moshe Mesinai, the fact that the Chumash is broken into five Chumash? That's a great question. The fact that it's broken into Prakim, into chapters, into Kapitla, that's a Christian argument. But the breakdown into Chumashim and the breakdown into Parshios, well, to break that into sedras that we call parshas, the laney, that's an old Jewish minhag as well, 1,000 years old, but that's not the halacha Moshe Sinai. But to break that into parshas in terms of the paragraphs of the Sefer Torah, and break that into chumashim, which also appears in the Sefer Torah in a particular way, which are five blank spaces of Pidin between. So that we soon go back to Moshe Sinai. So next week we have a chance to learn some more. Next Sunday, actually slated to give a Kol Yom Rishon shiur. You're invited to come too if you like. That's a lot. That's Sunday morning, mid-morning, about this topic. What exactly did Moshe, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe, and what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not teach Moshe? Machlokas on the mountain. Did Moshe learn Gemara? We'll get to that next week. So, coming back here, and so Chumash, good question, and all the Chumashim do go back. Chumashim are part of the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Klal Yisrael. The way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented the Torah. So one question is, why does Shemos begin so early? And that the Rabban already explained. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to step backwards over 7 decades and begin Shemos? The other problem, but that's a matter of a few psukim which are troubling, and Rabban just solved. But there's a problem on the other end of Sefer Shmos, too. Because if Shmos is Sefer HaGolos VaGeula, so where should Sefer Shmos end?
Yeah.
Bo, B'Shalach. Maybe you'll tell me, okay, Yitzias Mitzrayim is in Bo, and then Kriyas Yamsef is in a sense the Gemar, the Hashlam of Yitzias Mitzrayim. I understand one, not only there's an additional lace that occurred between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim, but that made their political freedom permanent. Because the Mitzrayim, they no longer have to worry that the Mitzrayim will snag them back. Yitzias Mitzrayim is now made permanent. Even Yisrael Mishpatim, which is the story we see of Matan Torah, that maybe for a different time, but Matan Torah was the purpose, was the telos. I mean, it didn't leave Mitzrayim just to be politically free. The political freedom was a means, a vehicle to attain spiritual freedom. And that's probably why the Machlok is Rav and Shmuel in the last paragraph of Psachim, where the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to be about the physical, political story or about the spiritual story. And the Mishnah says you have to have dramatic contrast. In the telling of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil HaSeder, Maschel V'Nus Messiah B'Shevach, the Gemara has himself, I think it's on Kufta Zayin, the Chol is Rav and Shmuel, is that Avadim Hayinu, Parv Mitzrayim Yotzienu, that we were politically subjugated, physically subjugated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us, or is that Mitachila Odeh Varazari Avoseinu, Akshav Kerevan Avakna Avadasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we used to be idol worshippers, we didn't have recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us from the spiritual shackles. Baruch Hu gave us Torah. Now, Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, as Rabban tells us, were lessons in Emunah, but obviously that leading up to Mount Torah. Okay, so we understand, so why did I mention this? We understand that there are multiple layers to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, the way Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to get us to, Emunah and Mamre Har Sinai and Matan Torah. Good. So I would understand Galus Geula, it'll take us from Shmos all the way through Mishpatim. As you know, and you'll know perhaps even more this year, the story of Matan Torah is not only in Yisrael, It's mostly in Yisro, but the second chunk of it is in Mishpat, the Nasa of Nishmat, the Bris. Good. The Truma Tzadah, Vayakov Pekude, which talks about the Mishkan, Big Day Kahuna, you know where they belong? If you were organizing Chumash, where would you put it? Right. It wouldn't be Chumash Vayikra, it would be Chumash Truma. No? You should start the third Chumash with Truma Tzadah, Vayakov Pekude, making the Mishkan, making Big Day Kahuna, and then Vayikra Tzav is about Karbanos. As a matter of fact, you know who did organize things that way? Maimonides. The Rambam says two of the 14 Sfarim are about Karbanos, Sefer Avoda and Sefer Karbanos. And Sefer Avoda begins with Hilchos Beis HaBechira, how you build the Beis HaMikdash, how you make the Kelim the Beis HaMikdash, and Hilchos Klei HaMikdash VeHaOvdim Bo. The Halachas, which involves largely the rules of Kohanim Leviim, including the Big Day Kahuna. And then he moves on to the halachas that actually bring, once you have I know how you construct the Beis HaMikdash, and who's staffing the Beis HaMikdash, and how they're uniformed, and then we can talk about how to bring Karbanos. Very logical. As the Rambam invariably is, in the organization of Mishnah Torah. So logical, why isn't the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the epitome of logic? But why didn't God organize the Chumash that way? What are Truma Tzav Yad Pekudei doing in the Chumash Shmos? That's not Geula. We had Geula already. Now we're doing things with our freedom. We're building a Mishkan, and we're bringing Karbanos. It belongs in Taurus Kohen. It doesn't seem to belong in the Sefer HaGolos, not Geula. It belongs in Leviticus, not in Exodus. Yeah. That's what you said. That we're going to see most fully the beginning of Chumash by Midbar. We finally hear about how the Jewish people are supposed to camp around with the Mishkan in the center, and the Mishkan-centric Jewish camp in the Midbar. Yeah. Fantastic. And let's see how all the ideas that you just laid out, how those threads all work into the tapestry that the Rambam presents us with. We called it. We should call you all Moshe. What happened to Rambam? We made Moshe ben Nachman. Here at right after footnote number 6. The Hinea goes in Enu Nishlam, I Yom Shuva Mel Makoma. Golos will not be completed, will not be entirely ended, until the day that they return to their place. The Amalas Avosam Yashuv, to return to the level of their forefathers. Because Yotzim Mitzrayim, the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim in Parshas Bo. So, Afapish Yotzim Mitzrayim Avadim, they have left the house of slavery. I mean, they've left politically, they're no longer slaves, by dying a chashuvul golem. They're still in Golos. They're in a land that's not theirs. They are as Paro will describe them in Bishala, apparently with some validity. They are Navoch Bamidbar. They're circling, they're moving around, they're somewhat aimless. They're traveling, they don't know to where, they're not settled. Kishaboa Har Sinai, come to Har Sinai, and they make a Mishkan. Bishama Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshua Shekhinah Sova, Nehem, Kadosh Baruch Hu settles among them. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshua Shekhinah, then Shavu El Malas Avosav, Shayasod Eloka Ale Ahalim. Now they've returned to the Madrega of the great-grandparents of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, who had this mystical connection with the Ribono Shel Olam in their homes. There's Ashras HaShechina in the homes of the Avos, and now Kalal Yisrael have returned to that Madrega, the Heim HaMerkava. Hazal speaks sometimes, somewhat Kabbalistically, presumably, about the Avos. He tells you on the bottom, it's a quote from the gracious Rava. Avos Heim HaMerkava. Obviously, Yaakov were the Merkava. What's in the chariot? So if you read the Psukim, I say read the Psukim, the first part of Yecheskel, Maaseh Merkava, it talks about that. There's something described metaphorically as a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chariot. Kadosh Baruch Hu's limousine. That's what carries a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's obviously anthropomorphic. That's using the human metaphor to imperfectly describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like all of the descriptions we have of Kadosh Baruch Hu are imperfect because we're human, because we're finite and he's infinite. That somehow is a vehicle for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a vehicle to present a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Hazeh. So Avos Hein Eim Merkava, that's the way the Avos were as individuals, and Klal Yisrael get to begin to do that with the building of the Mishnah. It says, now they're called Geulim. That's when you reach the stage of Geulim. Let's try to unpack this a little bit more. The Rabban, in truth, is later in Chumash Shavuot bothered by another question, which is, I was speaking before very fastly about, the second half of Shavuot is Truma Tzav Yaakov Bikudet. Truma Tzav is where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu about making the Mishkan and making the Geulah, then of course the Yaakov Tikkunei, he tells it to the Moshe, tells the Jews, and the Jews actually do it. What's missing, as you said, is Parshas Kisisa. Not Truma Tetzava Yaakov Tikkunei, it's Truma Tetzava Kisisa by Yaakov Tikkunei. So what comes in between Hashem teaching it to Moshe and Truma Tetzava, the Moshe passing on to the Jewish people to implement the Yaakov Tikkunei, Kisisa. The primary story of Parshas Kisisa is, of course, Egal Zav. The question is, that's sort of awkward. Why is Egal Zav in between? Truma Tetzava and Yaakov Tikkunei. Why don't it go straight? So Rashi is of the opinion, don't worry. Rashi is of the opinion that, Rashi is of the opinion that events in Chumash are not necessarily recorded in the order in which they happen. That's a Gemara. Gemara comments on the fact that the ninth parak of Bamidbar is dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The first parak of Bamidbar is dated Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Gemara says, Ein Muktam Mukha B'Torah. Chumash is not always organized in a chronological fashion, sometimes we organize in some other thematic fashion. As you see, Parag Aleph is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Parag Tes is Rosh Chodesh Nisan a month earlier, Ein Muktam Mukha B'Torah. Now, here's a large, broad, methodological machlokas between Rashi and Ramban, because I gotta understand Chumash. Rashi understands that you can apply that principle liberally. Rashi says, here you have it. He sees them. Cheta Ego. When did the Cheta Ego occur? Says Rashi, before Parshas Truma. The Rashi says that the Tzivui, to make Mishkan, was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's response to the Cheta Ego. The Cheta Ego. Life is not going to be so perfect post Mount Torah. We better have a Mishkan so that you can bring Karbanos and get Kapara for this Avera and for future Averas to come. That's Rashi's approach. Ein mukta mukra b'Torah. Chronologically, it's really Yisro mishpatim kisisa egalazav, in response to which is truma tzav and the tzivah to make mishum. The Ramban is not happy with that. Ramban, maybe later on we'll have a chance to see this inside. Ramban is not very excited about that. Ramban disagrees with Rashi fundamentally and specifically with Ego Azam. Ramban says, Ein mukta mukha by Torah, you can't just apply that broadly. It's only when the Torah indicates it. Chumash Ramit, we have dates. The Torah tells you this happened before that. Okay, Ein mukta mukha by Torah. But while Rashi understood that was just an example of a large general trend in Chumash, Ramban says, no. Ramban holds, Ein mukta mukha by Torah can only be invoked when the Torah actually tells you. So that's sort of an abstract question, how you read Chumash. It becomes more practical. We look at an example. Ramban says, if Kisisa is written after Trum Tetzaveh, it means that it happened after Trum Tetzaveh. Now, why is it so exciting? Here's the real number. It changes how you understand the purpose of the Mishnah. Because while for Rashi, one can say, Rashi has the liberty to say that the Sivui, the concept of Mishnah was a response to Chet. After Klal Yisrael committed the Chet, the Egel, the Parsha Kisisa, subsequently, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm telling you, you have to make a Mishnah. But for Ramban, for whom Ein mukta mukha by Torah is not relevant here, because the Torah doesn't give us dates, and therefore, Vayakha Pikudei happened after Kisisa, but not to Tzavet, the Jews never actually got to build the Mishkan until after Chet HaEgel. Because Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up a second time and a third time, and didn't get to actually teach it to the Jews until after Yom Kippur, he comes down to the second set of glucose. But, says Ramban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told Moshe Rabbeinu about it on its first time of now. The first 40 days, in between Shavuos and Shavuot B'Tamuz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to have to build a Mishkan. And the question is, why? For what? We're not in need of Kapara at the moment. And Ramban says, I don't think Mishkan is about Kapara. I don't even think that Mishkan is about Karbanos. Says, if you look in Parshas Truma, there's a long Ramban, I copy it back. He says, Torah doesn't talk about when the Torah introduces Va'asim Mikdash, V'shachanti V'selchem. We'll move into HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want the Mikdash because I want to live amongst you. It's a place of Hashras Hashchina. And it's, as he says here, a continuation of Mamad Har Sinai. Kasher diber Hashem Yisrael padu b'fanim asros ha-devaros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given us direct nevuah, begotten asteros ha-divros at Mamad Har Sinai and Shavuos. V'tzivos amayday Moshe kitzas mitzvos. Shev kimo avos v'mitzoseh shal Torah, which is a term that means a lot to those who learn Bava Kamma. But Ramban laid out his position for a different time, that the fascinating question is, all right, what's the point of Aseret HaDibros? We're at 613 mitzvahs. What's the significance of singling out these 10? There are different approaches. Ramban here is saying, these are the avos of all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs in some sense flow from or built upon, or analogous to, or confined to the categories of these 10. That's not in a single phrase. For some other time, we can unpack that some more. Kasher in Hebrew, and then here's another whole chapter of ideas that Rabban fits into a line. Kasher in Hebrew, Rabban says, "My game shabam lehisayi." Just as the din is that when a non-Jew wants to convert, so part of the process is kabbalas ol mitzvahs. But specifically, in addition to the formal actions of Mila and Tevila and days of Beis HaMikdash and Karban, the essence of Geirus is that you accept to be a Jew, to be part of the Jewish nation, to keep mitzvahs. And specifically, we go through a formal process which involves not every single mitzvah, but we specify several specific mitzvahs in addition to asking generally, do you accept everything? It sounds like Rabbanan is saying, the fact that we specify mitzvahs, that's not minat Torah. Kavod is all mitzvahs, is minat Torah. But the fact that we can't just ask in general terms, do you accept all mitzvahs, and do you accept to be part of the destiny of Jewish people, will be specifically say, are you willing to keep mitzvahs such as tzedakah? Are you willing to avoid a marriage such as chil Shabbos? The fact that he goes through specifics as examples, as a selection, but that's based on, as we know, Rus Nami, but also Ma'amar Sinai, and Yisrael Kibulu, Aleim Lassus Kol Mashi Tzavum, we're open to everything that's going, that we have heard, that we will hear in the future. And there was a bris, I'll call that, the Antipashim responded. We now have a permanent relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amachat Kodim, the God Kadosh. Ready for now having the permanent relationship. You should have a base, a geographical base for that relationship. And goes on to say, begins to discuss Kabbalistically, that this is an extension of what happened at Ma'amar Har Sinai. Not only that, now that we have had Ma'amar Har Sinai, now we're ready for the next step, now that we're Am Hashem, that He's Elokei Yisrael, so now we're going to have a home. The Nevi'im Achronim are full of the marriage metaphor for the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Zachar Tila Chesed Nirayach, Abbas Kul Osayach. We see the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael as a marriage. We see Ma'amar Har Sinai as the wedding. And now that you're married, you share a home together. That's a mishkan, a place for Hashem HaShechina. Rabban goes on to say it's more than that. It's not only after the wedding, you don't get married in your house. You have the wedding alone, and then afterwards, at some point, you go home. Rabban says, not only that's true, plus, this is going to be a continuation of the essence of Ma'amar Har Sinai. Because Ma'amar Har Sinai was incredibly intense and incredibly temperate. Hashkina is overwhelming, but the Psukim say, once the shofar blows at the end, there's no kedusha whatsoever remain in Har Sinai. Anyone can walk onto Har Sinai, there's nothing remains. Incredibly intense experience, but gone. I mean, the impact on us is forever, but the episode was over, and the impact on the mountain was entirely done when Ma'amar Har Sinai was over. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make Ma'amar Har Sinai permanent. Less intensive, no kolos ubrakim, but permanent. And that's Mishkan, and ultimately Beis HaMikdash. A place for ongoing Hashras HaShina. Yeah? What do you mean? True. They kept taking it back and putting it back together with them. They were able to take it with them in a way they couldn't take Har Sinai with them. Chayisol stayed at Har Sinai for
4 years.
Okay, Chayisol stayed at Har Sinai for a year minus 10 days, I believe, in the 20th of the year, and then Har Sinai is nothing. But here they can take Har Sinai with you with the Mishkan. That is portable. And they get to Eretz Yisrael, they stamp the Mishkan again. And you're right, there is a zigzagging. You have the Mishkan in Nob, the Mishkan in Givon, you have the Bava Gedolis in Nob and Givon, you have the Mishkan a couple of years in Shiloh. All of those, you are correct, once they're taken apart, the Kedusha leaves that place. But they kept going periodically, and then finally get to Malkam HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, from where the Kedusha no longer leaves, even when the structure comes in. That's how Chazal just said the pasuk. I think it's in Parshas Re'eh. It talks about Menucha v'Nachala. That they were going to come to the resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then to Nachala, which sounds like permanent inheritance. And so the Gemara said, the Tanam and Amram tell us that all the Mishkanos, when they were taken down, the Kedusha did not inherit that location. but they were able to move it elsewhere. Mikdash, that was dachal. Yerushalayim, that kedusha is permanent. And coming back here, so now let's read the Ramban again. He said those were the closing lines. They come to Har Sinai, and then they make a Mishkan, both of which were opportunities for Asharas Hashkinah, Hishra Shinas of Beneihem. With Mishkan, it's more permanent. You're right, not forever after, always stay in the same location, but it was a way of taking, Mendel Blachman's Nusach, the Mishkan is a mobile Sinai unit. It's a way of taking the Mishkan, it was a way of taking Har Sinai with you. That is Geula. Because Geula is not only being free, Geula is, as Ramban defines here, a return to the original state. So now, if you think about it, Sefer Shmos is perfectly founded. We understand exactly. It was perfect anyway. But now we begin to appreciate the perfection of the way in which the architecture of Sefer Shmos. It starts exactly where it needs to start and ends exactly to the pasuk where it needs to end. It backs up 70 plus years, so you read the Tzimtzum Mitzrayim in the briefest way possible, because that's the beginning of the story. Okay. So it backs, we should have picked up, you would think, 70 plus years into Mitzrayim. But Torah backs up to the very top to see, we see for a split second, Yaakov in an Eretz Yisrael. With the briefest of Ramazan, we hear that Yaakov is coming down to Mitzrayim. That Yaakov and his children came to Mitzrayim, meaning they had been up here. And they begin to go down, further throughout Shemos, down, into the depths of Galus. And then we watch, over the course of Shemos, how they begin to emerge. First politically, over the course of Bo and B'Shalach. Va'era and Bo'ra begin to learn Emuna, as Rabban will teach us next week, with the Makos. And then Bo B'Shalach, we attain HaKadosh Baruch, who gives us the gift of political freedom. Yisra Mishpatim is Mamon Har Sinai, with the spiritual end game, or the spiritual outcome of that political freedom. Mamon Har Sinai, Hashuas HaShchina initially, and then finally, it's made permanent. So now, with return to the point of the where the Avos had been in Eretz Yisrael, of Soda Eloka Alei Aleihem, of Avos Hein Hem Merkava L'Shchina, and Avos Hein Hem Merkava, now Kal Yisrael back at that point, that we now have a tent. Notice that the Avos, the home of the Avos, is described in Brachos as a tent, and the Mishkan is described repeatedly, particularly in the context of Hashuas HaShchina, as an ohel. And the last psukim and the last pasuk of Pikudei. Over the course of Pikudei, we see the actual Shachar Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu about it, then Moshe told the Jewish people about it, and finally Pikudei, they're actually making the Mishkan. And they made all the parts. And as you move through Pikudei, there's sort of this like rushing towards all the pieces are coming together, you're moving towards the climax. Everyone's building and building, getting together, and then they present Moshe Rabbeinu all the parts, and then you see Moshe Rabbeinu putting everything, all the pieces together, and they finally have a Mishkan. And Shmos isn't done yet. Because the last movement of Shmos, that the Mishkan worked. The last few psukim of the construction of Shmos ends a few psukim before the end of Shmos. The last few psukim are that, and then the Mishkan worked in the sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu actually was Masher Shechinaso on Klal Yisrael, a community built around Hashraas Hashchina, in a more permanent, durable fashion. And that is the perfect close, and the cosine is completed. We start at the top, we see the Golos going all the way down, and then the Chumash takes us all the way back up till we reach that tippy top. Now we are once again, Merkava L'Shechina, and that with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs off from Sefer Shmos. Vayikra, Taras Kodesh, that's about Mishka. That's about Shemini Karbanos. Once you have a place of Hashraas HaShchina, a base Hashem, it's the most natural place to bring Karbanos. karbanos. And it might be the only appropriate place to bring karbanos. But that's not the essence of what the, for the Ramban, at least, unlike Rashi and perhaps the Rambam, for the Ramban, that's not the essence of what the Mishkan is. The Mishkan is not the place of our karbanos and karbanos. The Mishkan is the place of our Shoras Hashkina. Mimela in Vayikra, how do you have a place of our Shoras Hashkina? You can bring karbanos there. But Shemot, this is a vintage Ramban. To look at the entire Chumash, and from the first pasuk to the last, fits exactly with the overall theme. If Bereishis was Sefer HaYetzirah, and Vayikra the Torah is going, Shmos is Sefer HaGolos VaHaGeula, the first of the Golios, and the story of the Geula from that Golos returning not only to the political place of freedom, but to the spiritual place of being Merkava Mashiach. And that's his perspective as we begin for the next 2.5 months to learn, together with the rest of Kol Yisrael, to learn Sefer Shmos.